How's that? We good? Any ringing? All right. If it gets bad, I'm going to take this off and just yell, okay? This is the time when you realize how much you miss Craig and Perry. But we got some young men back there getting ready to take over for us, so that's wonderful. All right, it's been a good service so far. It's been a wonderful service. How is everyone today? All right. Let's have a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, this morning, I ask you, Lord, to give me a new heart, a clean heart, for the express purpose of being able to deliver the message that you have for me and for your people today. Let me be your mouthpiece, and let me speak what the Holy Spirit wants us to know. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right, I remember today. First of all, thanks to everybody. I know it's been a little bit of a challenge with me trying to handle the audio, but you all did good, great song. Wonderful job, everybody. More than many sparrows. More than many sparrows. Normally, I pick a sermon title that makes you kind of scratch your head. Where's he going with this? Not today. Everybody knows this one, right? I got to keep my phone on. Craig will tell me if we need to fix something. Okay. Matthew chapter 10. Our scripture reading today was verse 29, but I'm going to read just a little bit further on that. Tells us, are not two sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall to the ground outside your Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, so don't be afraid. You are worth more than many sparrows. God has given us a lot of promises in the Holy Book. Amen? And some of them are big and just out there. And some of them are just really simple. You know, God is saying in this book something that we seem to miss. Let's have a word of prayer before we go further. Another word of prayer. Lord, this morning, before we start the sermon, I want to lift up to you our church family, the Torres family, the Garcia family, as they struggle with the COVID-19 that's attacked them. I pray that you will touch and heal them. A special prayer for Tree Tree and Sydney as they also have had to battle this. I pray, Lord, that you bring healing and comfort. I pray a special prayer for Sister Gloria, who is always out there in the streets working. Protect her health. And for Brother Craig, he's not here with us this morning, but he spent a day here yesterday preparing this for us. Keep him safe and healthy. I pray for Perry's daughter Riz and the baby, that the baby continues to develop healthy. I pray for our new sister, Denise, as she doesn't feel well today. May you, our great physician, extend your healing touch to her. Thank you for taking care of Diane and Devin and putting them on a road to recovery. We thank you for the good news of Jackie's grandmother. Continue to bless her and strengthen her and bring her through. I pray for the Zock family, for Sister Brenda, that you keep her safe. And for Cindy, as she helps take care of her and just faces life every day. And for Sister Beverly, who's in the medical field, that you will keep them all safe. I pray for our dear sister Diane Peacock and Dean, that you will give them joy in their lives. I pray for our brother Ray, for his faithfulness in asking you to provide a job for him. I pray for Roxanne and her family, that you will continue to intercede on their behalf for their needs. We even pray for Ezekiel, Brother Decker's grandson, with the liver trouble, We pray for Lorenda's niece, Sherry, with COVID. We pray for Sarah's son, Jacob. We pray for all of the elderly in our congregation. We pray for all of the youngsters in our congregation. We pray especially for our pastor and for his ministry. Hear our cries to you, Father. And please answer in accordance with your grand will. In the name of Jesus, amen. All right. According to this world, you matter when you have stuff. Granted, not everybody thinks that way. But you get on any social media, on any news station, on any streaming TV service, what is popular? What is liked? To be rich, handsome, beautiful, famous, have stuff, have some great skill, right? Look at, say, Tiger Woods, Michael Jordan, you know? The world judges good and worthy based on what you have or have accomplished. And you know, sadly, that sends a message to those who don't have all of that, that maybe the world doesn't think you're worthy or worthwhile, you know? I was doing a little looking this morning. That kind of gives away when I do my sermon, doesn't it? I was doing a little looking early this morning, and I tell you, this was interesting. Who knows Tom Brady? Everybody knows Tom Brady, huh? How much do you think he's worth? $180 million, give or take. And I kind of think, well, I got $71.71. I might not be worth as much as Tom. I don't know. And then you look at our boy Tiger, $900 million this year. These numbers are climbing, right? And there was someone else. Oh, yeah. Be Like Mike, Michael Jordan, twice that, $1.6 billion. And how about the grand businessman, Trump, $2.5 billion. And I'm like, wow, this is crazy. Well, let me take it next level real quick, and we'll get into this message. Bill Gates, $118 billion. We're beyond millions now. He's been retired for 20 years, $120 billion. How about the Tesla dude, Elon Musk, about to put something on Mars or something like that? $135 billion. How about one of the richest men, the guy that founded Amazon, Jeff Bezos? $180 billion. That's after everything he gave up in the divorce, right? Some $40 billion or so. And he's on track by 2026 to be the first trillionaire. And I gotta tell you, what's that all really worth? This world looks at these people in awe and elevates them. They've accomplished so much, they're so grand. I wanna ask you a question. You ever get tired of trying to do right and still not getting ahead, and the whole time watching the lifestyle of those that are not really trying to do right, and they are just banking? You ever get tired of that? Don't answer that, Adventist people. You know what the answer is supposed to be. But we're human, right? You ever felt like you just don't matter all that much? Do you sometimes feel like if you disappeared, you'd be hardly missed? If you went away, who's going to miss you? Some of us entertain such thoughts occasionally. Anybody wrestling today with a sickness? How many are, right? That wasn't the right question. Bunch of folks are, you know, wrestling with a sickness. You ever felt like God is just too busy solving big problems? Real problems, doing grand miracles, so really I'm not going to bug him with my little troubles. Turn with me to the book of Genesis chapter 3. I'm going to share something here with you. It's really interesting.
You know, we're accustomed to hearing Genesis 3, 14 to 17, right? A lot of prophecy there, where God talks to the serpent and then to Eve and explains that you're going to make enmity with her seed. He's going to bruise your head. You're going to bruise his heel. A lot of prophecy. All the sermons are around that. How many sermons have you heard on verse 10 or 11? Let's look at that. Genesis 3, 10. And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden. You know what? Back up to 9. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, verse 11. And he said, who told thee that thou was naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou should not eat? So there's some interesting points in that. First of all, I think about when our kids were little. We're working on something. Daddy, right? They're coming to us. They want time. They want attention, and we're busy. And here we have the grand creator of the universe saying, put this project on hold. I'm putting creation on hold. Where is my little child? You see the difference in that dynamic? God the Father went looking for Adam and Eve to commune with them. And we wonder, what are we worth? What are we worth to a God who puts everything on hold to come find us? You're depressed. I get it. You're angry. I understand. You're frustrated with all that's going on in this chaotic world. Yes. Do you not realize you serve a God who puts everybody important on hold to come find little me and little you, asking us where we are? Now, here's the interesting thing. Who told Adam and Eve they were naked? Wasn't God, right? So the Satan, the serpent beguiled them. They sinned, they ate of the fruit. Their eyes were opened. Sin is born there, right? The enemy brought that to their minds. The enemy, through that deception, brought that to them. God didn't go seek them out to beat them down and tell them they were bad. God came, where are you? I'm ready to spend time with you. But the enemy already said, eat this fruit and you will be like God. And they ate the fruit, and now they realize they're naked. Who told him he was naked? Indirectly, Satan did. Who tells you you're not worth anything? Not God, Satan does. Who tells you you are worthless? You might as well disappear. Not God, Satan does. God gets blamed for a lot of stuff, you know that? But I'm going to tell you something I learned through my lifetime and through scriptures. God did not create me to bring harm to me. And I didn't just do this to myself either. I'm born into a sinful world, and there's an enemy from the time I'm born is already on my heels, intending to destroy me, intending to separate me from my Father. Not to take away the guilt that I've done wrong. I know I have, okay? But it's not God's fault, and I know exactly who is saying, hey, try this. Hey, do that. Hey, it's not that bad. And bringing me down and deceiving me all the time. God is not the author of destruction. God does not intend to harm you. And when people learn that, it's all over the Bible, but it's all over God's creation. God took care of us. I say, let's do a test and hold your breath. And we do that for about 45 seconds. And tell me if God intends to harm you. No, he gave us the oxygen and we can breathe. God is letting you live. God wants you to be successful and joyous. The enemy does not. And at some point, you got to stop blaming God. And I say you, I mean people in general. Stop blaming God for COVID-19. You think God really wanted to harm his people? Our own brothers and sisters are getting infected by this. Our own people. Not because they're out there trying to do wrong, But because that's what the world is around us, that's where we are, we survive in this world, and the author of destruction is our enemy, is the devil. Amen? More than many sparrows. So what are you worth? I challenge you to say a more important question is, what are you worth to God? Because when you start thinking about what am I worth and getting into a spiral of self-pity, in a sense, that's selfishness, okay? Because if you had a clue of what it cost God to bring you up, you would understand what you're worth to God. And the cost was steep for your life, for your salvation. So I was reading one of the magazines we get from, this one is from the Southwestern Union, The Record. And this is the September-October issue. And I hate to throw all these magazines away, but they all keep coming. So once in a while I sit down, I flip through, and I do a quick read. And I came across this one article. It's by Oswaldo Amaya from Albuquerque. Back in April, he got COVID-19. His heart sank. He has a wife, a little child. And now he has to be worried about protecting them. And now for weeks he has to stay away from them. He's pretty distraught. And as he sits in his room alone, he reaches for his Bible. Can I get an amen? Yep, we're going to feel some self-pity. Yep, we're going to be distraught. Yep, we're going to be upset, you know. We're human. We're born in sin. We have human tendencies. But when you learn to touch the Word of God, when you learn to rely on his promises, you have a comfort that the world does not have. You have an assurance that the world has rejected. So he reaches for his Bible and he opens to the book of Matthew and he starts to read. And all of a sudden, a little sparrow lands on his window screen. Not on the ledge, on the screen, hanging on with claws. And I'll tell you, I did some looking, and the sparrows are not especially gorgeous birds. They don't look like the parrots with the blue and the green and the purples and everything. They're just kind of brown and white. Look like dirt birds, right? Look at them. And they're so tiny. Back in the days, they sold them 2 for a penny. Think about that. 2 birds. Look at them sitting there. God created them. 2 birds for a penny. Look at that. That's all they're worth to this world. Nothing. I want my penny back when we're done, by the way. As he sat there, within seconds, a second bird comes down right next to this one, latches onto that screen with us. They're hanging there just by their claws. And he's looking at that thinking, how neat. And he goes on reading. And within a few minutes of that, he's on Matthew chapter 10. Huh? This is not a fairy tale. This happened a couple months ago, all right? Back in April, May. And he shared the story in September, probably in August. 2 birds hanging on that screen, and he starts to read Matthew 10, 29. Are not 2 sparrows sold for a penny? Yet not one of them will fall off of that screen and hit the ground without the Father's care, outside of the Father's care. And even the very hairs of your head are all numbered. So don't be afraid. Why? Verse 31 tells us, you are worth more than many sparrows. God takes care of one. God takes care of 2. God takes care of all. And he's saying, you are worth more to me than many. He said it was eye-opening. He couldn't believe, sitting there, you know, reading this and that. Does God talk to us? God talks to us. Does God know when we need to feel his presence? Yes, he does. God, does God know when we're discouraged and we need just a little bit more to build our faith? Yes, he does. And he said this became so real to him. He sat there. Matthew made it clear to me, he said, that we underestimate how involved God is in our lives. If he pays attention to every sparrow, he is definitely interested in what ails us. If God tells us with his own words, I care about that little nothing bird. That's basically how the world looks at that bird. I care about that bird. I will feed that bird. I will protect it in the winter. I care. Don't you think God cares about you? Don't you think when you lose your job, God is engaged with you and already working out a plan? Don't you think when you get COVID-19 and you're scared because you've seen people pass away from this, that God is on your side and already intervening? But here's the interesting thing. People automatically expect God to handle things the way they want it handled. That sometimes presents a problem. Because there's something he said in that article that drove me to make that the message for today. In the midst of his sadness and the chaos affecting our world, God took the time to reassure me that I am indeed special to him. So you look at things like COVID-19, 250,000 people dead, millions affected. You look at things like the election. The election is rigged. No, it's not. You know? You look at things like the Iranian top scientist was assassinated and Iran is about to say, well, they've said they should be enacting, somebody's going to pay while they continue in nuclear armament. Right? You look at things like the government decided to give themselves an extra week so they don't shut down. Let's fund ourselves while we figure out if we want to give our people a few $100 so they can pay their rent and buy some food. Right? Chaos in our world. The world seems to not care. God tells us, if I care about a little sparrow, you better know I'm looking out for you. You better know I know what you need. I know what you need before you need it. I know what you need before you realize you even have a need. That's the Father that we have. But we listen to the world. We get caught up in all of this, right? We get caught up in the politics. We get caught up in the fake news. We get caught up in the media giants telling us what to think. Don't worry, I'm done with that. This is not political. I'm just saying that's what seems to just influence us, inundate us, and drive us in our thinking. Oswaldo said that what he found amazing was that God could have sent one sparrow to get the message across to him. He would have been reading 1029, one bird on that screen, and he would have believed, hey, sign from God. But God took the care to send two birds at the same time while he read that verse, so he knows God is right there with him. He says God could have sent one sparrow to get his message across, but Matthew 10:29 mentioned two sparrows. God sent two birds to his window. His words were, "What a caring and a detailed God we serve." It was truly an amazing way to remind me that he is and will always be in control. God hasn't lost control of this world. God hasn't relinquished a hold on his creation. We wonder why all the suffering. Where is God? When is he going to intervene? He never stopped intervening. He never stopped being present. He never stopped sustaining his people. But what I found interesting is the way Oswaldo ended his story. And this is it. He said he spent the next few weeks drawing closer to God and trusting. Now get this. He spent the next few weeks drawing closer to God and trusting that no matter what happened to my body or the hairs on my head, God would know how to restore me fully. And here we go, if not on earth, for sure in heaven. He could have stopped halfway and I would have been encouraged. He could have said, my God knows how to heal my body, and I would have been satisfied. That's inspiring. But he said, if not on this earth, if I suffer from COVID, if I die, if I recover but with ill effects long term, that's all right, because my God knows how to restore me fully in his kingdom one day. And when we learn what really matters, when we learn that 70 is such a short time, hey, I can attest to that, right? It's such a short time. Time just goes, 10 years, 20 years, 30 years. God has offered us eternity. So I'm saying I got $71. Jeff Bezos got $180 billion. Change that to time. I got 70 years. And God is saying, how about you have 180 billion years with me? And that's a small number, actually. Eternity isn't measured like that. But substitute the dollar sign with years, and we worry about the 70 being harsh. Rightly so, we live in this world. But when you learn to change your perspective and see the 180 billion years with Jesus Christ and with all the patriarchs, with all the prophets, with all of God's people, with all the martyrs, then you understand it's okay if my body dies here. Because what I want is this. What I want is heaven. What I want is an eternity of peace, of love, of happiness, of kindness, of just everything. My people around me, my God with me, the angels around. Forever and ever. You know, we struggle in this world. This is a sin-riddled world. And we struggle with some harsh realities. The enemy is constantly attacking our minds, continues to attack our bodies, our emotions, our very intellect. Let me tell you something. Who accuses us? Who tells us we're bad? Who points out our failures? Go with me to the book of Zechariah chapter 3. Zechariah chapter 3, and let's look at verse 1 and 2. And he showed me, this is a fourth vision of the prophet Zechariah. He showed me Joshua, the high priest, standing before the angel of the Lord, and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. And the Lord said to Satan, the Lord rebuke thee, O Satan, even the Lord that had chosen Jerusalem rebuke thee. Is not this Joshua, this high priest, a brand plucked out of the fire? Joshua was clothed with filthy garments and stood before the angel. And he answered and spoke unto those that stood before him, saying, take away the filthy garments from him. And unto him he said, behold, I have caused thine iniquity to pass from thee, and I will clothe thee with change of raiment. The enemy was there to resist him. The enemy was there to point out his worthlessness, his dirty rags. But God said, I rebuke thee, Satan. He is mine. I plucked him from the fire. I will remove the dirty clothes and I will clothe him with my righteousness. Matthew 27:40, and saying, I'll tell you what, Satan is brazen. You know that family member who'll just say whatever they gotta say? You're like, did he just really say that? Satan is something else, man. 27:40, Matthew 27:40, is saying, you who are going to destroy the temple and rebuild it in 3 days, save yourself if you are the Son of God. Come down from the cross. Who else is going to look at the Son of God and say, you're God, save yourself, come down from that cross. What? Come down from the cross. Really? That's the enemy that you face. That's the enemy that is cunning. That's the enemy that knows what you're thinking before you think it. That's the enemy that understands your motives, that understands what drives you. and he plans to destroy you. But Revelation 12:10, I heard a loud voice in heaven saying, now the salvation and the power and the kingdom of our God and the authority of his Christ have come. For the accuser of our brethren, that enemy again, has been thrown down, he who accuses them before our God day and night. You think he takes the weekends off? You think Christmas coming up, Satan gonna take a break and let y'all be happy? Day and night, he's after you. Day and night, he wants to break you down. Day and night, he wants to trip you and watch you fall on your face. Satan is the enemy and the accuser and the liar who tells you that you are not worth anything, that you sinned, that you put Jesus on the cross, that you are worthless. God does not tell you that. The enemy tells you that. He uses weapons that we struggle against every day. Depression has waged a war on the human race. Let me tell you, this is sad. Depression, when you can't smile anymore, when every day is just a Debbie Downer, when nothing makes you happy, when you feel like you probably just don't even want to live anymore. Depression. God does not desire that for you. God does not desire that you sit in a dark corner of the living room and feel sorry for yourself. He sent his own son so you can smile, so you can just and live, so you can be happy, so you can have communion with him, directly with him. You know, he does not push depression and use that to control you. He doesn't control your love. Your love has to be free to God. So who is pushing depression on you? That's the enemy. Where's Bill? I know he's watching my time. I gotta hurry up here. Loneliness and emptiness flanks us on the left, on the right. It's always around us. These are the things we fight, and these are the things we got to understand is not of our God. Our bodies are beaten up and destroyed by cancer, by heart disease, by stroke, by diabetes, by respiratory ailments, by Alzheimer's, by suicide, by blood pressure problems, by obesity, just to name a few. There's way more than that. And whose fault is it? Who's to blame? Who's to blame? Me? You? Partially. I like my cheeseburger as much as the next guy. Partially. But we have a common enemy that knows God is on his way. We have a common enemy that knows his time is short. We have a common enemy that knows he is going to die forever and ever and be no more. And his goal is that Jesus doesn't smile over each and every one of us in the end. His goal is to pull us down and destroy as many of us as we can so that Jesus will weep over each one that is lost. So this is at the heart of this message, folks. God is not telling us that we are to blame or that we brought this upon ourselves. Satan puts that in your head. But we serve a mighty God. We serve a capable God. Take comfort in this statement. Jeremiah 27:5 says, I have made the earth. God says, I have made the men and the beasts which are on the face of the earth by my great power. And by my outstretched arm, and I will give it to the one who is pleasing in my sight. God is bigger than your problems. God is bigger than your depression. God is bigger than COVID-19. God is bigger than unemployment and eviction. God is bigger than your car breaking down. And I am saying this based on several of the posts on prayer warriors this week. I'm not downplaying these things. They're important. They harm us. They bring us down. Right? We got to have a car to get around, to get to the job, to get the child to the doctor, all of these different things. So it's not that it's not important, but God is bigger than it, is what I'm saying. When we realize that we can have the confidence that Oswaldo had, as he said reading Matthew chapter 10, to say, even if this beats me, it can only beat this physical body, and that is only for a short time. It cannot take away my salvation. COVID-19 cannot keep me out of heaven, even if I don't survive it. Can you say amen? God has provided that salvation for me, and I said it came at a steep cost. His own son, Jesus Christ. COVID-19 ain't got nothing on Jesus. In the strength of God, let me tell you something. Your strength is here. God gives you intellect. God gives you power. God uplifts you. But you can allow right here to make this body weak. In the strength of God, Samson, with the jawbone of a donkey, killed 3,000 enemy soldiers single-handedly. No man can do that. You know, they'll just bum rush him. How is that even possible? Only in the strength of God. In the strength of God, Moses was able to lead a couple million people through the deserts and call out for a sea, a whole ocean to open up and the land be dry and walk God's people through there and then call out and close it up and entomb the enemies. That is the power of the God that I serve. What God are you serving? That you allow the enemy to compromise your salvation, to compromise your joy that came at such a cost to the Son of God. What God are you serving? I'm not saying it's easy. Not at all. Not at all. What I'm saying is my God is bigger than the depression in your mind. My God is bigger than the cancer in your body. You pray and then you have to learn to just release that. And don't make demands on God like, well, you need to cure this body or else you're not real and I don't believe in you. God doesn't have to prove himself to me and you. But I'm going to tell you what, I don't even know if it's going to rain or shine tomorrow. God does. I don't know if I'll go to work Monday and my boss will say, hey, I'm changing your pay structure. God does. Okay, I don't know if I'll be driving to work and all of a sudden the car just starts to cruise and stop and I don't know, something just went up. God knows if it's coming, I don't. So when I learn to trust him, I can say, that's okay, Lord. Together we can deal with this. That list goes on with Daniel, with Joseph, with many others, but I'm not going to go there. We don't have enough time. But you have to believe that we can win. How much have you learned from the Bible about the might, the power, the love, and the protection of our God? How much have you learned? Did you just come in here and sit and listen to a pastor tell you something you like to hear? How many churches you go to where you have a pastor that's really a motivational speaker? Let me tell you something. There will come a day, you guys are fussing about closing the church. I'm fussing about closing the church. We all are. There's going to come a day when you will not have this church with the ability to walk through these doors again. That day is coming. There's going to come a day when you can't go to work anymore because you chose not to accept the mark of the beast. You chose not to forsake God's holy Sabbath day. And you're worried about COVID-19 and we can't come to church for 4 weeks? Come on. That's my personal opinion. Don't go beat up the pastor. John 15, 19 to 20. If you were of the world would love its own. If you were rich and mighty and powerful, the world would love you. But because you are not of the world, but I chose you out of the world, because of this, the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a slave is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, the Son of God, they will also persecute you. 1 Peter 4:12 to 16, beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you. Don't be surprised that we got COVID-19. Don't be surprised that we got uproars in the government. Don't be surprised that we're facing foreign nations that want to go to war. Don't be surprised that China won't come to a deal with us and we have all these tariff wars going on. Don't be surprised. Peter told us way back then, don't be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of his glory, you may rejoice with exultation. There is not a human being in history I have read or heard of that suffered the way the human body and mind of Jesus Christ suffered, that had the power to stop it, the power to turn it off, and still submitted to the will of the Father. Isaiah 40:26, lift up your eyes on high and behold, who hath created these things that bringeth out their host by number? He calleth them all by name, by the greatness of his might, for that he is strong in power. Not one faileth, not one star loses the ability to shine, not one sun goes out unless God says it does. Brethren, we got to remain in prayer. Let me tell you something. I'm going to tell you something. The prayer warriors, that's a team. I read all of it. I don't comment back a lot, you know, but I read all of it. That's God's people right there. They have their own troubles. They hear someone else with a trouble, and immediately they go to God. Immediately they're on their knees. Father, help this sister. Father, help that brother. Father, heal our people. And they got their own troubles. We are to be in prayer. We're winding down here, I promise you. 1 Timothy 2 says, therefore I exhort first of all that supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, for kings and all who are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and reverence. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God, our Savior, who desires all men. God desires all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. For there is one God, one mediator between God and man, the man, Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. Tell you something. If you take the time to open God's word, rather than say, who's going to preach to me this week? Which live stream can I hook on to? Marcus and Perry and Craig can't get the live stream. Let's just connect to Granite Bay or whatever. Let me tell you something. You pick up the word of God and you open it to any page on that book, and God will speak to you. Any page in the Holy Scriptures, and God will speak to you. God will edify you. God will build you up. God will lift you out of the depths of the sinful world. God has the power to answer you. You think you know what the answer needs to be, and therein lies a big problem. God knows what we need. I serve a present God. Tell you something. I don't go kneel down to some wooden statue. I don't go to some guy that holds his hand out for me to kiss his ring or whatever and ask him to go talk to God for me. I serve a present God. When I cry, he's right there with me. When I'm in pain, he's experiencing my pain, because he experienced pain on this earth 2,000 years ago, more than I could possibly experience. We serve a present God. Jesus is always right beside you. Open your eyes of faith and look. I'm going to tell you something. You know what Jesus did? Jesus healed leprosy. Jesus got out on the ocean and calmed a whole storm. You don't think he can handle your troubles, huh? He calmed out a whole sea. Who does that? Huh? He saw a blind man rub stuff on his eyes and gave that man sight for the first time in his life. Can you imagine the awe that man experienced? Which doctor on this earth has the ability to do that for us? They tried to enhance our eyesight with glasses and contacts and surgeries and what have you. But when you lose your sight, they cannot restore it. Only God can do that. Jesus did that. And this is interesting. I promise you. Are we close? Yes. Oh, got scared. Thought I had another page. Jesus called Lazarus forth. You know, it's been sad as we hear the countless number of stories of people in ICU on ventilators, and then they expire. The doctors can't save them. They don't know what COVID-19 is and how to deal with this. They're learning. But the God that I prayed to, he called Lazarus forth out of a tomb and brought him back to life. The God that I prayed to, there was a little girl that died, and the father was brokenhearted because Jesus stopped to help somebody else, and she ran out of time. And Jesus said, hey, hang on a second. And he called that little girl back to life. That's the God that I pray to. And I'll tell you what, Mark 9:24 in closing tells us, immediately the father of the child cried out and said with tears, Lord, I believe, but please help my unbelief. I believe, but ask God to shore up your faith. Ask God to build your faith. Ask God to help your unbelief. It's okay. Let me tell you something. The enemy is after us day and night, scripture tells us. But God is present day and night. And he's waiting. He's not going to force himself on you. Talk to God. Tell him you're depressed. Tell him you're in pain. Tell him you need a job. Tell him whatever you got to tell him. But accept that he knows what you need. Don't force God to give you the outcome that you want. Lord, I believe. Help my unbelief. 1 John 5:4, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you today for this message. A message of hope that reassures us you're still here. You ain't gone anywhere. At the same time, you're up there in heaven, intervening, working out our salvation. And at the same time, you're shielding us from the enemy. You are our God. You are our Savior. You are our protector. You are Lord of Lords and King of Kings. And whatever you decide we need, we accept it and we say, thy will be done. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.